Welcome to Sheep and Shepherds, a weekly conversation by a group of church elders who are concerned with the well-being of the people in their local congregation, Church of the Open Door of Leavenworth, Kansas. Let's join the conversation.
Welcome back to Sheep and Shepherds, and we're here again joined with Pastor Jay Lickey from Open Door Fellowship, former pastor here at Church of the Open Door, and then the church planter down at Baser at Open Door Fellowship. Alex Elliott started attending here, started being acquainted with the church from his early childhood years, and in regular attendance middle school years. Right now, Alex is in his mid-20s, and Jay is in his 40s, and I'm in my 60s, and we wanted to kind of put together this kind of a milieu in order to speak to those who are in their 20s in particular about how to have a strong start to their adult Christian life, and the transition from teenage years to adult years is an important one. And in some sense, we've talked about this before, we've just, what used to be a transition from 16 to 20 has now become a transition from 16 to 30, maybe 34. And so we're talking about how to do that better than how it's been done. We've kind of generated the thought with questions from, or at least not necessarily questions as much as suggestions from Pastor Lickey and myself. And so let me start this one. And again, this is not a unique to this culture or generation, but I think too the issue of starting off in our youthful adulthood into our senior adulthood. For Christians, one of the things I would recommend is to resist the temptation to follow the new young superstar pastor, or maybe not pastor in our day and age, internet personality,
celebrity,
whoever he is. He looks hip, he talks hip. And so he must be hip. He's one of my type of guys. Seems to talk authoritatively and well, and he seems to have the answers because he says a lot of things that really resonate with me. I'm using that as an analogy, and I would say just don't do that. Just don't do that. Matter of fact, I've said this, many of you have heard me say this, get your theology from the old dead guys. Cement your foundation in faith from those who, one, are old because they've been through all the phases, and dead because then we know that they didn't jettison it in the last part of their life. And I'm not saying they all have to be dead, but I think you get the point. There's just much more security in those type of guys who are driving the books I read. You'd mentioned last time, Alex, get a good book and read it. Well, who should be the author? Well, find somebody that lived in the generations before me and lived a good Christian life and died a faithful follower of Christ and left a great history behind himself. Not the guy who's writing the latest fad. Here's how you can, grow your marriage or grow your teens by a guy who's been married for 10 years at most. So that's a suggestion. Be cautious. I think in youth we tend to gravitate towards those young spokesmen, Christian spokesmen, and they're not a safe place to be.
This is kind of the double-edged sword of the age that we live in, information age, technology age. We have access to so much, and there's much that's good, and there's much that is bad. And even on the good side, there is some great resources and great people to hear. There is that tendency, and this is what I think we're talking about, to to have that good resource and that good person become your go-to, to be the stand-in pastor, to be, you know, that place that you're turning. And we were just not designed for that. Again, you know, we were designed for relationship, to know and to be known. And you just can't get that from the big name pastor on the podcast or YouTube. And so while there is even benefit there and good to get, it's not, you know, that is in a sense not the person to be looking to all the time. Benefits, sure, but again, there's people that God has providentially put in your life in the church, and that's where your primary growth should be.
And I think my caution is, I think at all ages, I think we see this today, you know, youth to old, we have the temptation to find our counselors on the internet or our, you know, like you were saying, and I don't think that works at any age. We should be finding that spiritual direction in a good, vibrant church where we are. Mine was specifically for your generation, that they tend to add even more difficulty for that by picking the young hipster-looking guy,
and when you look at those you know, young pastors, fiery preachers, they sound good, and you know they preach, and what they to Jay's point, what they are preaching might be good, or at least you know good enough. They don't have a good track record. If you look at a lot of those guys, you know, they at some point they eventually either turn to greed or you know turn to other vices, and they eventually get deposed. I mean, you see it over and over and over again. They become removed from their position as leader because they do something awful, and it just happens time and time again. And then the church is left, and anyone who listened to that person is left thinking, well, what does that mean? What does that mean for me? I listened to this guy, you know, he gave me all this advice, and he's a terrible person. What do I do with that?
Now he even denies the faith.
Right, yeah, you know? Or worse. Yeah, completely denies the faith, and that leaves anyone who is following him just completely lost. Just a caution towards that. It happens time and time again.
And it's happened for years. I mean, I can think back to when I was a new believer in my 20s, and who were the guys who kind of had like my ear. And some of them are completely out of the faith now. Many, and I've watched over the years, many of them have toppled it kind of relates to our subject, and that, you know, we've got to, there is something about youth that makes us want to idolize the youth, like the chronological snobbery that you had talked about a long time ago, Jay. And that is just, you got to resist that temptation. The guys who have been doing it for 40, 50 years have got more than just 5 years of behind them. And there's just some things that...
To your point about the, you know, listening, you know, reading a dead guy, you mm-hmm. know, as you mentioned, the reason that's important is because...
They wrote the books when they were alive.
Right, of course. They were grounded, and they were tested, and time has tested them. And if they are dead now, anything that they did wrong would have come up. Yeah. Any theology they had that was wrong would have been contested. Any of that stuff at this point would have happened, but it hasn't. So what they said was good, and it's been tested by time. These young guys who talk fast and do all this stuff, they're not grounded. They're not tested by anything. So they sound great What does the Bible say? Until the rebuttal, until they're cross-examined.
Yeah. Jay, how about you? You got another thought you haven't addressed yet?
One thing that I think would be good for younger guys to know is that, especially, you know, you in particular, I think, and someone that has been, all right, kind of on the path and walking the right way, having good teaching, you kind of have a decent grasp of life and what's happening and the difficulties and a good theology. And, you know, I think it's good to know that experience, well, the experience of things to come and things bearing out in life, it usually is harder than you would expect things to be. You know, I remember early on, like first couple of years here at the church, associate pastor here, and there was something I was trying to implement with the youth, and it was not going as planned. And I remember saying to you, and this was a pretty brief comment, but it stuck with me. I was like, man, this is harder than I thought it would be. And you laughed at me. You laughed at me.
I'm doing it again.
Yeah. So, you know, I think about it as kind of illustratively, like you can know about getting the wind knocked out of you. You can kind of know a little bit of what's happening there. You know you'll survive something like that. But when that actually happens for the first time, it is, you know, disturbing and scary and difficult. And so, you know, I think life can be like that. You can know. You know, you can know the depravity of man really well, and yet, man, when it comes right in your face in your marriage or some betrayal or a friend, and man, it just is going to hurt and be harder than you really expected. And you say, I knew these things happened. I heard about them. It's all here in my theology. But when you're in the middle of them, you know, the pain and difficulty of it can be surprising, and it's like this is still really, really hard. And you know, I guess that's a call to continue walking in such a way that you're casting yourself upon the Lord. Humility is important, so that you're listening well to those around you and preparing well. I think the Scripture does prepare us for this kind of thing. You know, the Scripture, we have in it lots of psalms with deep, heart-wrenching cries. Psalm 88 is a really dark psalm, preparing us, as 2 Timothy 3:16 says, we can be fully equipped to know there are going to be times like this. And you can be equipped, and part of that equipping is just knowing, man, when I'm in it, it may surprise me, and if I can have things kind of in place, the Lord will carry you through. But sometimes people get really they're knocked out and they're really down because you know their expectations were different and mm-hmm. and so I don't know.
I on that point, I think that's one of the biggest disservices that the modern church does for the young people is that exactly not showing them or not teaching them. You know, those passages of the Bible where it's tough and the psalmist is, you know, crying out because, you know, life has got him way, way, way down. And, you know, so much of church today is, you know, cue Joel Osteen, you know, God loves you and he wants the best for you and, you know, all this very light stuff. And then all of a sudden when a trial comes and life gets darker than you ever thought it could get, just to be prepared for that, because the Bible addresses all those things, and a lot of people just haven't ever been taught that. I mean, a lot of churches just don't go into those areas because it's, oh, you know, it's depressing or it's whatever, and there's, oh my gosh, there's so much of that in my generation of just, I don't know if you want to call it mental illness or what it is, but just depression in general, where, you know, life, you grow up and you realize life is not easy, and they just give up. It's like, oh, life is hard. You know, my church taught me that, you know, it will, or they didn't teach me that it was going to be this hard or whatever it is, you know, and I think a lot of it also, it all kind of ties together, but you mentioned a couple Sundays ago about kind of the cultural Christianity, and I think that's, I mean, I can think of a few people I know where it's like, that is what they are. They think they are a Christian, and it has done them a disservice because they get to those points in their lives where life gets hard. You know, they think They are doing what the Bible tells them to do. They think they know what's right, and they try to do that. They don't know what they're doing, and they fail. And then all of a sudden they say, Christianity has failed me. You could argue you weren't a Christian. I mean, you've been, you know, spoon-fed stuff your whole life, and then you're kicked out on the street and expected to survive, and it's just not, it doesn't happen. And I think that we see that time and time again now. But
you know, one thing I want you to think about, Alex, because I won't ask you right now, but I'll ask you later so you have time to think about it. As you and you spent got a good portion of your formative years were here, and now that you're halfway through your 20s, a little bit more, what do you wish that we would have done better to prepare you for where you are? So you can think about it. But while you think about it, let me give another kind of advice to that age group. And a lot of this stuff kind of circles around, you know, these are moons that circle around the same planet in a sense. But I made a note, I phrased it this way. Remember that history has more answers to the future than the novelty of change does. And this is what I mean. History is going to answer more of our questions than newness is. And I'm thinking particularly in the church, and this is kind of spiritual. I'm not talking about cultures and government, but here this is clearly in the Church of Jesus Christ, the growing in grace, because we've had the textbook for thousands of years. There's no new data being added to it. We've had lots of time to study it and think about it and work through it. If past generations, you know, consistently went one direction and instead of another, all right, we just got to be very, very cautious in throwing that out as an antiquated model that we need something new, all right? And that's a tendency of youth. Well, this is the way they've always done it, and they haven't gotten it right yet, and now we got right, and this was what right looks like, and it looks completely different. And that idea of novelty is really, it's an opium. It entices us, it intoxicates us, and when it's all said and done, it leaves us empty. There's not much new under the sun, you know, Ecclesiastes. If we really think we got a better understanding on how the church is and how it should function than they have for the last 2,000 years, it's possible. I mean, they weren't infallible, but it's highly unlikely. And we just need to be cautious and careful with jettisoning that which has marked the church for thousands of years for the sake of novelty, of the novelty of today. So what do you guys think of that? I mean, do you think I'm a stick in the mud?
there's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah. You know,
we see these quote unquote new trends and new ideas. They're not new. None of it's new. It's the same thing repackaged and sent back our way. So, to your point of looking to history, you'll find a lot of answers because it's happened before in the church's history. And I think about this a lot, but reinforcing why we believe what we believe. And I know, you know, it's, and I'm trying to think back, it's way back, obviously, when I was a youth in this church, was a long time ago. And
yeah, it was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Or more.
Yeah, about 10 years. But just reinforcing why we believe what we believe. You know, it's not just throwing it at the youth, you know, here's how to live a right life. Here's the Bible. Here's whatever. God is this, God is that. why do we believe these things? You know, how do we, and I mean, I want to say it's sort of apologetics, but it, not even quite apologetics, just almost reinforcing kind of that critical thinking. Whenever you hear a new theology or a new idea that you've never heard before, and your pastor didn't give you the answer, you don't have it yet, you've never heard this, and you're trying to think of, what do I think of this? Just stopping and reinforcing, why do I have the stance that I have? Mm-hmm. What is the stance that this has? What is my stance? Why do they not line up? And why am I still in the right? Why is what I'm doing right? Or what I'm thinking right? I think that's, you know, kind of the key to not being pushed this way or that. You know, we can try to give them all the answers, but there's, like you mentioned, there's always going to be some new thing that's going to come up that they haven't heard the answer for, and it's going to try to sway them, and just having them prepared for that. And maybe that's already been addressed. I don't know. I haven't been in the youth in this church in a long time.
Well, so. and that's an interesting question, because Jay, you were in the youth. You were the youth pastor for a number of years. Was that not when Alex? Not when you were here? I think
there was like one year of overlap.
Yeah. And by then it was too late. Too late, right? But would you say that was on that kind of a? Would that concept was on your radar and attempted to do that? And if so, how would you say this is we weren't thinking about giving you the answer why, or we were thinking about it, which I'm sure you're going to say, yeah, that's always been a concern. How did you try to do that? And is there a way we can do it better?
Yeah, I think the why question was something where, you know, we sought to do, and you know, apologetics was a part of it, and trying to be grounding in the Word of God to answer some of those whys. So, you know, it's got me thinking, like, I wonder if it's more of just how to convey that in a way that's going to connect better,
stick longer.
Yeah.
And I guess it's not. I'm not saying that because that wasn't relayed to me. Obviously, you know, but it all builds together. Everything you teach is kind of a why we.
But you wish it was more there.
I feel like it could have been reinforced a little bit more. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard because, I mean, that's a fundamental thing, right? I mean, that's a very fundamental thing. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, I can see how teaching everything else reinforces that thing for the most part. But I don't know. I guess it's a complex problem.
Yeah, it is. So, Jay, how about you? You got another thing on your list? I guess we're out of time. So... Yeah. Thanks once again for joining us, and we hope this has been profitable for all of you. This is Pastor Damien Efter saying, hope you have a great day. Goodbye.